John chapter 13 is the story of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. It may be familiar for some of you. What happened in the Gospel of John was that in chapter 12, Jesus kind of, if you will, concludes his public ministry. He says some things to the public. And then in chapter 13, it's a recording of Jesus celebrating the Passover with his disciples, the Jewish Passover. And it's the night that he's going to be betrayed. And it's the day before his death. And he spends some time just with his disciples. And it's what's called the private ministry of Jesus, because from chapter 13 all the way to chapter 17, it's just him and his disciples, and he says some things that are very significant. He's preparing them for his death and ultimately his resurrection, where he fills them with the Spirit, and then he's going to ascend into heaven and minister now through the church. He's preparing them. So you can imagine, these are like his final words before the cross. These are significant words. These are significant moments with the disciples. And this is, for the most part, like I said, he's concluded his public ministry. And this is this time, this intimate time. And it begins with the Passover, which we call the Last Supper. The Last Supper, his last meal before the cross, before his own execution. And he is, and he begins, as many of you know, by washing the feet of the disciples. Let's read together some verses out loud. We're going to read verses 14 through 17 of John 13. We're going to read it out loud. If you don't have a New King James translation, that's all right. We're going to put it up here on the screen for us to read out loud and together. Many good translations out there. But if we could all read this together, John chapter 13, starting in verse 14, ready, go. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And so Jesus says these words after he washes the feet of his disciples. We learned last week that the Lord wants to take us to another level of fruitfulness. It says in John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. He who abides in me will bear much fruit. Which means that no matter what area of your life, whether it's your business, in your work, in your ministry, in your family, the Lord wants to bless you, and the Lord wants to make you fruitful. What does that mean? Successful. Not just for you, but he wants to use you to make an impact in other people's lives. He wants to produce his character, his life, in you and through you. And we saw that, how the Lord does that. Pastor Carl brought the word and helped us to see that the way that the Lord prunes us, the way that the Lord makes us fruitful, is that he uses his word and he washes us with his word. He cleans us up with his word. And it's exactly what Jesus was modeling here in John chapter 13. Like I said, it's the night before he was going to the cross, the night that he's going to be betrayed. And right there, he knows all these things. It says in verse 1, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And it says, and supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he arose from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, girded it around himself, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded with. So it said, did you see that? He knew that Judas was going to betray him. Knew it. Knew that he was going to go to the cross. Knew all these things were coming to a fulfillment. Why did he do this? Why did he do this? And what does he do? He takes off his garment, puts a towel around his waist, and he gets on his knees, and he takes water, and he washes these dirty, stinky feet of these disciples. They walked around the hills of Galilee on dirt roads where animals walked and did other things in sandals, and they got these dirty, stinky feet, and he goes and he washes them, knowing that he is the king, knowing that he's the Son of God who's come from God, knowing that he's going to lay down his life, and even knowing that Judas is just about to betray him, his disciples are going to deny him, flee from him, abandon him, knowing all of those things, yet he lays down his life, and he does this. And we find out when he's having this conversation with Peter, that even though he's giving them example of humility, he's giving them an example of serving, and he's washing their feet, which in those days was something that was important, because their feet would get dirty walking around in the sandals and such. People needed their feet washed. And yet we find out it's not all about feet. Because you remember when Peter, he says, hey, what are you doing? You're the Lord. You're my master. You shouldn't be washing my feet. You remember what Jesus says to Peter? Because Peter says this in verse 6. He says, Lord, are you washing my feet? He's trying to stop him. Like, hey, that's not how it's supposed to be done. You shouldn't be washing my feet. I think Peter felt uncomfortable. In fact, can you imagine the scene? That would be pretty awkward. It'd be pretty awkward. Everybody's eating dinner and such. And Jesus gets up. And you know they're all watching him. He's taking off his outer garment. He doing? And he puts a towel around his waist, and you know people are thinking, no, he's not gonna. No, is he going to do that? And can you imagine? Here's Jesus, who has calmed storms, who heals, who raises the dead. Peter has confessed him as Christ. Peter knew this is the Savior of the world. And yet now Jesus is down at the feet of Peter, down at Peter's feet, getting ready to wash them. Can you imagine how awkward that would be? It's so quiet in there, in that room. I mean, I think we sometimes think it's just this beautiful, holy moment. I think it would be like, this is weird. I think Peter would be looking at John, and John looking at Peter, and like, what do we do? What's going on? Yeah. And here's Jesus down at his feet, and Peter says, what are you doing? Why are you washing my feet? And notice what Jesus says in verse 7. What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. He says, you don't get it. You don't get it, but you're going to get it later. And then Peter says, you shall never wash my feet. No, that's not right. And then Jesus says something to him. He says, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. You have no part with me. See, it's at that moment we realize this is not about feet. This is about something bigger. I mean, why would he say, if I don't wash you, if I don't wash you, he didn't say wash your feet, he said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Why would he say that? And then Peter got it. Peter was like, oh, okay, this isn't just about my feet. He's doing something. You know Jesus would always talk in parables, right? He'd always use metaphors. He was always after something deeper than what he was really saying, wasn't he? Telling stories and such, and yet he was trying to get at something. And so here in this moment, here he's washing their feet, but he's trying to get at something in their lives. And Peter said, no, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And Peter realizes this is bigger than my feet. And Peter says, okay, fine. And you guys seen this before. In verse 9, Peter says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Peter's saying, okay, I want to be a part of you. I want to belong to you. I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. I want to be just like you. Wash all of me. If that's what it takes, wash all of me. I don't want to resist you. See? And Peter's funny, isn't he? Because he goes from one extreme to the other, right? No, you can't do it. Oh, no, wash all of me. You know what I mean? He's funny like that, but I like his heart. Do you see that? People, we get on Peter, but he's got such a good heart. He just loves the Lord. He's hungry for God. He's saying, okay, I'm wrong. Wash all of me. And Jesus says this. He who is, verse 10, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. We saw last week that it's not just feet that Jesus is after. He's after our hearts. And when he says, no, I need to wash you, he's talking about the brokenness in our lives, those areas of compromise. See, just like walking on those hills of Galilee with sandals and the feet get dirty and stinky, so we, even though we've been cleaned by the Lord, we've been forgiven, we've been washed, we've been made righteous in Christ, and yet we pick up things in the world, don't we? People say things to us and it hurts our heart. We hang out with people and we learn some bad examples. We get tempted. Sometimes we give into that temptation and we get dirty. We get contaminated with the world. And Jesus is saying, no, I've already cleaned you. I've already cleaned you. You're already mine because I've washed you with my word. If you've received my word, if you believe in me, you're clean. Your spirit is righteous and born again. He goes on to explain that a little bit more in John 15. He says, I've cleaned you up. You're mine and you're ready. You're ready to do what I've called you to do. You're ready to bear fruit. I've done a work in you. But he says, but there's some areas in your life I still need to wash. You got some stinky feet. He's not talking just about feet. He's not just talking about 10 toes right now. He's talking about those things in our life. You know what I'm saying? Like when you're a little snappy at somebody because you're tired. When you raise your voice and you yell, or you get mad at somebody because you're really just having a hard day, and had nothing to do with them, but you took it out on them, right? Maybe there's some fear, maybe there's something you're discouraged about, you're afraid about. You know, it's those parts of us where we're just kind of grumpy because we're down. Those parts where you're hungry, so you lost all patience, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're not being led by the Spirit at that moment, you're just being led by that hunger in your stomach, aren't you? Right. See, it's that. Jesus is saying, no, your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. He says, you're already clean. You have my word in you. You belong to me. But I need to wash you. See, that's what the Lord is saying. He said, no. Let me come to you and wash you. Let me heal you. Let me serve you. And you know, that's kind of awkward, isn't it? There's a lot of people, they want to get cleaned up before they come to God. They want to be all perfect before they come to church. I mean, I got to take a shower before I take a shower. You get what I'm saying? No, you come to Jesus clean. I mean, you come to Jesus dirty, let him clean you up. Yeah. You don't have to come to him clean. And just like those disciples, they must have felt awkward. I think it's awkward for us. We think, no, I got to figure things out. I got to be good for God. No, he doesn't need you to prove yourself to him. He doesn't need you to be perfect. He doesn't need you to bring your life to him all perfect. No, he needs you to come and let him serve you. You can't love God unless you receive his love for you, because you can't give what you don't have. You can't love others unless you receive God's love, because we can't give what we don't have. And Jesus is trying to say, let me love you. Let me heal you up and fill you up. Let me serve you and wash away those areas in your life. Maybe it's something that somebody said to you. Maybe it's that area where you just feel like you got to always control that part of your life. You got to feel like you got to control those people in your life because maybe some guilt. See, sometimes we're driven by things that are not from the Lord. We're driven sometimes by fear or guilt. And I don't mean all the time. I just mean sometimes it gets in, doesn't it? It gets in. Our feet get dirty. Sometimes in our relationships, in our marriages, with our kids. Sometimes somebody hurts us and we carry around that hurt. maybe some bitterness or some offense towards somebody. And now we've got it kind of sharp with them. Maybe it's just an aspect of our personality that hasn't been worked out yet. You know, all of us kind of have some sharp edges to our personality. People get a little close and we cut them, don't we? Sometimes with our personality. And I don't just mean people who are loud. Sometimes it's the quiet ones. Quiet ones, sometimes we cut people with our personality. See, the Lord wants to wash that. Wants to wash away some of those areas in our life. Maybe some areas where we've been hurt. He wants to heal us up. And do you see what he's doing here? He's given us an example of how to live. He's given us an example of how to love. So that's the first thing. For us to be like Peter and say, yes, Lord, wash me. Lord, clean my feet up. Heal my heart. Deal with me. But notice, he doesn't just wash Peter's feet for Peter. He doesn't just wash the disciples' feet for them. But he is saying to them, no, but I'm pruning you. I'm cleaning you so you would bear fruit. See, what's he doing in this time? He's preparing them for something greater. He's preparing them to do what God has called them to do. And notice he even says it right here in the verses that we read out loud. In verse 15, for example, he says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. He says, I washed your feet because you need it. But now he's saying, but now I want you to go and wash other people's feet. Now, I know some churches, they'll do like foot washing ceremonies and such, and I think that's good. I think some people, they do that because what they're trying to say is, hey, Jesus did that. Let's do that and let that be a representation of how we're to serve one another. But you know, if it's just a ceremony, if it doesn't extend into the rest of our life, then what's the point? I don't believe that Jesus was saying, hey, have a ceremony once a year. Have a ritual where we wash each other's feet. And I'll be honest, even though I respect churches that do the foot washing service, number one, I think that's kind of awkward. So that's probably why I don't do it. It is awkward. But also our culture doesn't necessarily require it, does it? Back in the day, they had sandals, they had dirty feet, they had smelly stuff on their feet. And it was a little bit more necessary. Now, you know, if there's a foot washing service, shoot, we go take a bath first, wash our feet, you know, and put perfume on them or something like that, get a pedicure or something like that before we come to the foot washing service so we're not embarrassed and such, you know. And I, again, I'm not saying anything wrong with it. I don't want to diss other believers and such. What I'm saying is I don't think that's what Jesus is after only. Not just after, let's just do this once a year as a ritual. Let's just do this and make ourselves feel like we're Christians. I don't think he's talking about that. I think he's saying, listen, I love you even when you're unlovable. I serve you even when maybe you're a little edgy, a little sharp. I'm patient with you. I come alongside of you. I'm here to help you to grow, help you to become who you were called to be. I want you to do that for others. I want you to do that. Think about it. Just a few days before, his disciples are arguing about who's better, right? Who's the first? Who's the best? I'm going to sit at Jesus' right hand. I'm going to sit at Jesus' left hand. They're arguing about it. And what did he say? No, that's not how we do it. That's not how we do. He says, if you want to be the first, you have to be the last. He says, if you want to be the greatest, you have to become the least. You want to be the boss? Then you become the servant. He turned it upside down, and then right here, he's showing them exactly how it's supposed to be. I think it's kind of interesting because in a supper like this, in a dinner like this, a celebration, normally they would have a servant or, you know, an employee, kind of like a caterer, you know what I'm saying? And those people would bring the food, and those people would come, and they'd wash the feet of the guests. Well, where was that person? And did you know that if it wasn't like a servant or like the caterer or something like that, it would usually be the least of those disciples or the youngest? Well, who was that? We don't really know. Could have been James. Could have been Timothy. We don't really know. Bartholomew. But somebody didn't do what they were normally supposed to do, right? And so everybody's feet are dirty, stinky. They're eating dinner, and nobody does it. He just talked to them about being the least, being the servant. He just talked to them about it. I don't think they got it. I don't think they got it. Here's Jesus. Stands right up. Takes a lot of confidence, doesn't it? Puts that towel around his waist. And he starts to wash their feet. What is he doing? But what is he doing? He's showing them, I am the Lord. I am God. And I'm doing this. He's teaching us an example. He's showing us what we're called to do. That we're called to love like he loves. We're called to serve like he serves. And he's taking all of our excuses away, isn't he? I mean, this is Jesus. He is the Lord. And he's just taking all of our excuses away. Why we can't wash people's feet. Just taking them all away. Well, thanks a lot. See, because we're okay. We'll love people who love us, yeah? We'll give to somebody as long as they give back to us. But remember Jesus said, well, what is that? Remember Jesus said, if you love people who love you, what's that? If you give to people who are going to give back to you, what's that? That's not love. He said, no, love is you love the person who's ungrateful. You give to the person when you know they can never give back to you. That's love. You be friendly to the person who's having a hard day, but they're just being rude. But you be friendly to them. That's what Jesus was trying to teach. But see, we have a lot of excuses, don't we, in our mind. You know, I've found that serving people is never convenient. As long as it's on my time, when it's convenient, and I got it planned out and put in my schedule, I think we're good. I'm in control. We're good. But isn't it funny that people have needs? When it is the wrong time, it's never convenient, is it? I heard this funny joke. Okay, I gotta tell you this joke. This lady, her husband was deeply sick. Strange disease, rare disease, very sick. And the doctor asked to see her, just to talk with her. And the wife goes in to see the doctor, and the doctor says, listen, I'm sorry, I've got bad news. I've got some really bad news. Your husband has a disease. We don't know how to cure it. And I don't think he'll last more than a few months. It's very serious. So she's grieved. Oh, my goodness, doctor, is there anything we can do? I mean, there's nothing, no cure. She says, no, it's serious. But the doctor says, because it is kind of a rare disease. He says, but there are some things you can do that could even extend his life years. Maybe even help him for a very long time. But it's going to take a lot of work on your part. He says, well, no, I mean, I love my husband. What is it? What is it? And the doctor says, well, he's going to need a very strict diet. He's going to need you to cook for him. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner 3 times a day, 7 days a week. He's going to need you to cook for him and prepare these meals for him. And then he goes on to say, and he's going to need a very peaceful environment. He's going to need, you know, not a lot of stress. So you're going to have to clean every day and keep things just very clean. And he's going to need you to not burden him with a lot of problems and talk to him a lot. Just keep things really quiet. What lady says, is that it? And he says, yes, if you do that, if you work really hard and you stick with this, I think you could extend his life for years. And the wife says, okay, thank you, doctor. And she goes and leaves the doctor's office, and she goes to her husband, and the husband says, what is it? What did the doctor say? And the wife says, I'm sorry, honey. He says, you're going to die in a couple months. You know, sometimes when we're called on to serve, to lay down our life, it just doesn't seem convenient, huh? It doesn't seem convenient. You know, it wasn't very convenient for Jesus, was it? Here's Jesus, the night he's going to be betrayed. He's going to give his life for the world, lay down his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. He's got some things on his mind, doesn't he? He's burdened, and now here he is struggling. In fact, in a few hours, he's going to say that he's struggling with the weight of sin. He's going to say, I'm sorrowful, even unto death. I'm struggling here. He needs to go and spend some time with God. He needs to go pray. And yet here he is, what's he doing? Thinking about them. It's not convenient to serve people a lot of times. Oftentimes we're tired, we're busy. It doesn't fit into our schedule. And here's Jesus, just blows away that excuse. He says, no, I know it's not convenient. I called you to serve people when it's not convenient. See, we'll do that a lot, don't we? We'll say, no, I want to serve people, Oh, but not then. Oh, yeah, I'll help you out, but later. A lot of times, we want to help people, but we say, not that. You know, I'll go clean the dishes or I'll go get the food, but wash feet? No, not that. No, I'm not going to do that. That's too weird. That's too awkward. That's too hard. That's dirty. No, I don't want to do that. And yet Jesus is saying, no, that. A lot of times we have something in our mind that says that person's not worthy. Either. Sometimes it's the time's not convenient. Sometimes it's the person. Because they're not grateful. Or they haven't been there for us. Sometimes it's a family member. And there's some hurt in our own hearts towards them. They haven't really been there for us or whatever. Other times it's a stranger and just the way they look. No. But a lot of times we may not say it out loud. We may not even think that word in our head. Oh, they're not worthy. But we think, no, not them. You're right. You just don't, I don't want to help them. I don't want it, not them. And if it was somebody else, you might do it, but not them. Right. And yet, look at who Jesus is serving. Whose feet are he washing? Those 10 toes, those 2 feet, who is it connected to? Well, let's see. One of them was about to betray him. One of them, bold-faced, lied to him right in his face. One of them is going to deny him 3 times, and the rest are going to abandon him. Well, they don't seem so worthy, huh? I mean, I always blew me away that he is down at the feet of Judas Iscariot, who's about to betray him, turn his back on Jesus, stab him in the back for just a little bit of money. Going to betray the Son of God. And Jesus knew it, and he's washing his feet. So often, the very person we're called on to forgive is the person who's wronged us. The very person we're called on to serve is the person who hasn't served us. This is what Jesus is doing. He's just getting rid of all our excuses. It's not the right time. It's not the right person. That's what love does. And not only that, is sometimes we think, but why me? Why me? And if there's anyone in all of the universe that could have had that thought, it would be Jesus. He's the one that we should be at his feet bowing and worshiping, yes? We should be the ones down at his feet. Somebody else should have gotten up and washed his feet, worshiped him, served him. And yet, can you imagine the picture? God in human flesh, and he's bowing at their feet. I love that in Psalm 18 it says, God stoops down to make us great. God, such a good father that he loves us, that he wants to serve us and empower us and change us. And here's Jesus down at our feet, washing our dirty feet, loving us when we're unlovable. I think about how distant I was from God in high school, doing things that were completely displeasing to God. In my own heart, raged against God, believed lies about him and just angry at God, did not believe in him, did not love him, and yet he loved me. Think about how far I was from God, and yet Jesus loved me. and pursued me. I think about how messed up I've been over the years. And yet he's been so patient with me to love me. And how I've learned a little bit how to serve other people. But how did I learn? I learned it from him. I learned it by letting him wash me with his word. This is Jesus. Who would let other people inconvenience him? Healed the sick, raised the dead. You remember that? He's busy. He's busy, and this man comes and bows his before Jesus and says, "My daughter is dying. Come and heal her." And he says, "I'll come." One time, Jesus' cousin, John, died. He was tired. His disciples were tired. They'd been ministering for a couple of years. John gets beheaded, and Jesus tells the disciples, "Hey, let's get out of here. Let's go take a break." And they go away to have a little retreat. Little R&R, little my time. It's my time. And they get away. Guess what happens when they get away? Thousands of people find out where he is. The word spreads. They go viral. They tweeted it. Jesus is here. And they all show up, and he's grieving. He's hurting. He's sad that his cousin has been killed. And he needs some rest. And these people show up, and it says that he's so moved with compassion, he begins to teach them. He begins to lay hands on them and heal people all day, thousands of people. And then even at the end of the day, they're hungry. They don't have any food because they followed him to the wilderness. And he says, "Let's feed them." And he multiplies loaves and fishes. This is Jesus. A leper comes up to him, and he touches him. A man with a skin disease, and he touches him and heals him. Do you see? This is Jesus. This is how he loves people. And here he is at the feet of the disciples, washing their feet. Somebody else could have done it. See, we think, no, sometimes we think, "I'm too good for that." Or, "I graduated from serving." Sometimes we think, "Well, but somebody else needs to do it. Somebody else should do that." But what's Jesus saying? No, you should do it. He's blown away all our excuses, isn't he? Yes. He's saying, yep, I called you to serve. I called you to serve. I called you to love. And it's not going to be convenient. And it's not going to be with lovable people, because you'd be in heaven then. And there probably is somebody who could do it, but I'm asking you to do it. See, this is the measure of a disciple, isn't it? Jesus says a few verses later, in verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And he says this in verse 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." By this they will know you're my disciples. He doesn't say they'll know you're Christian because you go to church. They'll know you're a Christian because you have a bumper sticker, you know, the fish. Or, you know, the fish bumper sticker or something like that. They're not going to know you're a Christian because you answer a bunch of Bible trivia. They'll know you're a Christian because of the way you love. Because if you love people, and you love the hurting and the broken and the ungrateful, you love the people that everyone else rejects, then people will say, "Oh, that's like Jesus." And they'll know we've been with Jesus. They know that we're like him if we'll love. That's the measure of a disciple. That's the measure of a disciple, one who loves like he loves. This is what we've all been called to. This is what we've all been called to. Even that person who's so anointed, they got some massive church or ministry and thousands of people listen to them and all that stuff. And we think, "Woo, that's a Christian." No, that's not a Christian. Praise the Lord, we need that. We need ministers like that. We need that kind of anointing and that kind of influence to impact people. Praise the Lord. But you know, that person has not graduated, have they, from serving. And the same thing with you and me. All of us have been called to lay down our lives and serve other people. I remember Michelle and I had been married probably about a year or two. Newlyweds, still, relatively speaking. I should say that because we've been married 15 years now. And I remember we were having some hard times. We just were not connecting. There were some barriers. It happens. You know, you love each other, you fall in love, but then We cut each other with our personalities. Having a hard day, and you don't give to each other like maybe you should or you used to. You're kind of mad at each other, and then you carry that around. And the enemy uses that, bring a division, bring a wedge. We were having one of those heart-to-heart, serious, knock-down, drag-out conversations. We didn't knock down or drag out or anything. But I remember in that conversation just talking about where we're at in our marriage and maybe some dissatisfaction. She was being honest with me, even to the point of a lot of emotion, you know, tears. And saying, I don't feel served by you. You put everything else before me. Church and this, and you do these things for other people. But what about me? And I can say, well, but I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. I can list all the things I do. But the reality is she didn't feel taken care of. She didn't feel served. And man, it broke my heart. I'm seeing my wife right here. She's hurting. This is the person I want to love. This is the person that I want her to feel special. And yet she's telling me, you're not doing it. And there's a part of me that's defensive. There's a part of me that says, what? And there's a part of me that feels guilty. And nobody likes to feel guilty, so we want to be angry, you know. But I remember it broke my heart. And I remember getting emotional that day, years ago. And I tell her, what do I do? How do I serve you? And I remember I don't think she even fully knew how to express it, but she said something, and I'm heartbroken. I said, God, what do I do? How do I walk in love? Change me, Lord. And I remember just either through some of the things she said, some things that the Lord told me, I began to realize it's not me just doing the normal day-to-day stuff. See, we think that's it. I'm just doing my thing, I'm living life, I'm trying to be the best husband or father. But I realized what it was. When she had a need, I was too busy. It wasn't convenient. When she had a problem, I couldn't take care of her. I was doing something else. And the Lord began to help me to see, that's your fear. You're afraid. You're so busy. You got to have your schedule. You got to do your stuff. You feel so afraid that you're not going to get your task list done. You have no room for people. That's what the Lord began to show me. I began to realize I'm doing all this stuff for God, and I'm missing it. I began to realize it's not just that she wants me to do this or that every day. It's that if she has a problem, I got to drop everything. And that was hard for me. That was hard. That means I had to put a pause on my work, put a pause on my to-do list, and I had a fear of dropping the ball or being irresponsible. Kind of this guilt kind of would make me work too hard and put work before people. And I remember I began to change. I know I'm not perfect, but now sometimes I do the dishes. Yeah, put them in the dishwasher. No, so I began to change. If she needed something, I'm not saying I do it all the time, I'm not perfect, but I would drop what I had to do and go help her. And I remember years later her saying, no, I feel like you put me first. I feel like you serve me. I feel like you take care of me. And I'm not saying she feels that way all the time. I'm not saying I don't have a lot of things to work on and we go through seasons, but what I'm saying is I remember the Lord changing my heart. I needed Jesus to wash my feet, change me, show me how to serve, show me how to be patient, show me how to extend myself to serve her. I'll tell you, it's that kind of thing that changes our relationships. It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus says this in verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you do them. See, Jesus is saying right there, listen, this is the key. This is the key if you want to see transformation in your relationships. If you want to see breakthrough in marriage or with your kids, If you want to see a transformation in your community, this is it if you walk in love. See, sometimes we as believers, we think, no, it's about the power of the Spirit. It's about faith. And of course, Jesus, he could calm storms. He could raise the dead. He had faith, didn't he? But why did he do it? Did he do any of it to show off? Did he do any of it for him? No. He was never too busy for that person, was he? Never too busy. Why? Because he loved. Jesus, who moved in absolute power, he only did it for one reason. Faith. See, we want to be fruitful. But you know how to be fruitful? You have to put a seed in the ground and it has to die. We want to be successful. We want to make an impact. I want all that. And Jesus is saying, you got to walk in love. See, the key to the next level of fruitfulness, what the Lord wants to do in you and through you, is love. You remember in 1 Corinthians 13? Paul says, even if I have faith to move a mountain, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'm just like a clanging cymbal, just nothing. But the Lord is saying, but if you'll have a heart of service, if you'll walk in love, like I walked in love, oh, I'll take you to another level of fruitfulness. This is what the Lord's doing. He's trying to prepare us for what he wants to do in us and through us.